Hi, I'm Ken Blanchard. I'm happy to talk to you about leading at a higher level. As you remember, there are four key steps to leading at a higher level. What I want to focus in on this time is the fourth one, to build the right kind of leadership. And in many ways, I think this is probably the key one because, you know, I've always felt that the fish stinks from the neck up, you know, and if you don't have the right kind of leader, you aren't going to get the environment that you want to really make a difference and to lead at a higher level. And what kind of leadership is necessary to lead at a higher level? That's a servant leader. And so many leaders, I think, are self-serving leaders. They think leadership is all about them, and they want all the money and the power and the recognition to move up the hierarchy and all. And to me, you can't lead at a higher level if you have self-serving leaders. You need to have a servant leader. Now, you might ask, you know, what's the difference between a servant leader and a self-serving leader? Gordon MacDonald, a friend of mine, wrote a wonderful book called Ordering Your Private World. And in that book, he said there are two kinds of leaders. There are driven leaders who are self-serving, and there are call leaders or servant leaders who serve others. And he said the difference is that driven leaders think they own everything. They own their position. They own their relationships. They own their possessions. They own everything. And if you think you own things, what are you going to do? You're going to try to protect anything you own. Where servant leaders, call leaders, think everything is on loan. I just love that concept. It's on loan. You know that your relationships are on loan. We learned that certainly from 9/11, that you might not see somebody tomorrow that you really care about today. My wife Margie always says, keep your I love yous up to date. Our relationships are on loan. And if you knew your relationships were on loan with important people in your life, would you treat them differently today? You better believe it. Do you know that your possessions are on loan? I mean, it's nice to have a bunch of toys when things are going well, but when things aren't, maybe you need to get rid of some. A lot of people think he who dies with the most toys wins. The reality is he who dies with the most toys dies. And I see people in tough economic times trying to hold on to their toys. And then finally, I think that servant leaders think their position is on loan. Who's it on loan to? The people that they're trying to serve. And so they have a very different way of dealing. And one of the ways you can find out whether a person is self-serving or serving is to try to give them feedback. If you give feedback to somebody and they get all upset about it, you know you're dealing with a driven, self-serving leader because they think your feedback is saying that you don't want them to lead, particularly if there's anything negative about it. And that's their worst nightmare, that they're not going to be able to lead. Therefore, they got to do everything they can to put you down and discredit the feedback you're giving. Where you can always tell somebody who's called or a servant leader, you give them feedback, you know what the first thing they say is, thank you. And they say, could you tell me more? Gee, I didn't intend to do that. Is there anybody else I should talk to? And, oh, boy, this is so helpful and all. Why are they so positive about feedback? Because the only reason they're leading is to serve. And if you've got any suggestions on how they can serve better, they're really ready. You can also tell the difference between self-serving and serving leaders by do they build up leaders around them. Self-serving leaders don't want anybody else to look good besides themselves. Otherwise, people might think that this person ought to lead or that. Where called or servant leaders, they really love to develop leaders around them. If somebody develops who's really good, they're willing to co-lead with them. They're even eventually willing to step aside and let them take over. And so that's a really important thing. And so what we want are servant leaders, people who think their main job as a leader is to serve, not to be served. Now, what we have found when we talk about servant leadership is a lot of people say, how can you lead and serve at the same time? And they think that servant leadership means that the inmates are running the prison or, you know, you're trying to please everybody. And that's not really what you're trying to do with servant leadership. And when people think that, they don't understand leadership. See, there's two aspects or two areas of leadership that we've talked about. One is the visionary direction part of leadership, which gets the ball started. You know, that's when you develop your compelling vision and your direction and all those kind of things. And leadership starts with clear direction, and you want to make sure that people knowing where you're going. And it doesn't mean you don't involve people, but the main responsibility is yours in the hierarchy to make sure that vision is done. But then once the vision is done, and that's the lead part of servant leadership, now we move to the serve part of servant leadership, and you invert the pyramid and move to the bottom as cheerleaders, supporters, and encouragers. And when you do that, what you're really saying is, okay, now you know where we're going. My job is to help you in every way I can to live according to the vision, accomplish the goals that we have set. And that's really what servant leaders want to do. Self-serving leaders, what do? They want to keep the hierarchy alive and well. They want all the power, money, and recognition to move up there. And you know that they don't understand servant leadership. So you need vision and direction to be the lead part of servant leadership. And then now you're turning the pyramid upside down, and you're serving and cheerleading and supporting and encouraging people. That is the serve part of leadership. Now, when I ask people, do you want to be a servant leader or a self-serving leader? You don't get too many people to raise their hand and say, count me in on self-serving. If there's a decision to be made, I'll always make it in my own self-interest. No, people want to be servant leaders, but they get bogged down, or they let their egos get in the way. Because ego really is, and to me, is edging good out, you know. And we talk about leading at a higher level as, you know, doing the greater good for the greatest number and focusing on that. And when you edge good out and it now becomes about you, now you're starting to move away. And servant leaders need to, you know, learn to let go of the two key things that get your ego in the way, and that's false pride, when you think more of yourself than you should, and you're now pushing and shoving for credit, or self-doubt, when you think less of yourself than you should, and now you're protecting yourself and all those kind of things. And both of those make the focus be you, and now you're going to edge good out, and you just can't do that. And you'll see, what's the anecdote for false pride? It's humility. And it's interesting that Jim Collins, in the book Good to Great, came up with two characteristics of great leaders. The first characteristic he found was resolve or determination, you know, to follow a vision, to accomplish a goal, to be the very best. And so great leaders want to accomplish things. And we have always said that that's important. We want good results. But he said the second great characteristic was humility. He never anticipated that would be a great characteristic for leaders. And yet he said that when you get a great leader, when things go well, they look out the window and they give everybody credit. And when things go poorly, they look in the mirror and say, what could I have done to help these great people be just as great as they are? Where self-serving leaders, when things go well, they look in the mirror and pound themselves in the chest and say how great they are. And when things go poorly, they look out the window to see who they blame. And so it's the humility that drives away the false pride that is so key for self-serving leadership. And the anecdote for self-doubt or fear is confidence resulting from a realization that you're unconditionally loved. You know, I think God didn't make any junk. You know, you are absolutely special. And I don't know how many of you listening to this have kids, but I say this to parents all the time. How many of you love your kids? And boy, they all say, yeah, and they raise their hands. And I say, how many of you love your kids only if they're successful? If they're successful, you love them. If they aren't, you won't. And nobody raises their hands. I say, I mean, you love your kids unconditionally? Yeah, they really do. Well, you have to recognize that you're unconditionally loved. What if you operated like that and you realize that, you know, your confidence and your self-esteem is not a function of your performance plus the opinion of others? It's great to get feedback from others, and it's great to look at your performance and improve it if you can. But when things don't go well, you're still fabulous, because you have to realize that you're absolutely unconditional love. You are perfect, but you can also get better. And so the anecdote for self-doubt is confidence resulting from the realization that you are unconditionally loved. And what happens is when you get your ego out of the way and you start to feel that sense of self that permits you to be humbled and permits you to deal with a different kind of confidence, now you can realize, and this is so key to everything we've been talking about in leading at a higher level, is that leadership isn't all about you. It's about serving the vision and the people who make it come alive. And self-serving leaders think it's all about them, and they want to shout from the rooftops how important they are and don't care much about anybody else. Leading in the higher level means working on worthwhile results while caring for the people involved and the greater good of the greatest number. And that's what it's all about. But you need the right kind of leader to have that happen. And if you have the right kind of leader, then all of these four key steps fall together. Because the right kind of leader, the servant leader, wants to have a clear vision and a clear direction. And they'll get people's inputs, but they know it's their responsibility to set that direction. And then they are willing to turn the pyramid upside down so you can treat the customers right and give all the power to the people. They're willing to treat their people as if they're owners and partners, not as employees and subordinates. Have you ever thought of what awful words they are? Subordinary, you know, and, you know, I've heard people talk about, you know, the head of the department and, you know, their people, you know, and you know, like I'm the head, you know, and these are the hands, you know. They don't even have a head. And so it's really not about that. It's about your people. Your key element is your human resources, and they got to run with the ball and satisfy your customers. And what puts it all together is having the right kind of leadership. And so remember, we here at the Ken Blanchard Company are here to improve your performance. We want to help you. Contact us if we can. We are constantly trying to help individuals and organizations lead at a higher level, and you know that that happens when you have the right target, when you treat your customers right, when you treat your people right, and when you have the right kind of leadership. So go do it. Lead at a higher level. It'll make a difference in your life and the lives of people you touch.